Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Today, my guest is Ariane Persai. Before I bring her on, a couple of announcements. You can always get new episodes free on Rockfin, Odyssey, and all podcast platforms. We just got another strike on YouTube, so you won't see us on YouTube for a couple of weeks. Definitely check us out on Rockfin. You get all premium content there, but you can also get our regular free shows. And best of all the content from every creator on Rockfin. Click the link in the description. You can create an account right there. Definitely check out the podcasts we feature on the Forbidden Knowledge Network. You get those on our website, forbiddenknowledge.news. And follow us on Facebook. All those links are in the description. Guys, what is it that Big Pharma fears most? It's you being healthy and not being part of the perpetual cycle of being poisoned by Big Pharma and our medical industry. Break yourself free and check out what may be the most powerful antioxidant known to man. C60 Purple Power is absolutely amazing. The benefits have been personally outstanding. But do your own research. Click the link in the description. Check out their website for yourself. If you order from that link, you're going to get 10% off plus free shipping. What is your health worth to you? Today, I want to welcome Ariane Persai. For the last 6 years, she has been opening her eyes to the level of control and engineering in her life, up to her friendships, romantic involvements, travels, and the way her energy has been used in covert projects. Gradually, the level of strangeness in her life increased with experiences related to mind control in the yoga, festival, and healing scene. Encountering health issues, she has experienced a dozen long liquid fasts to heal her body and has learned the principles of the mucus-free way of eating. She keeps on reconnecting with her clairsentience and clairknowing abilities and is assisting others on their path. She is teaching how to reclaim health with an alkaline way of eating and many practical tools, how to break free from the handling energies all around us, and how to keep on freeing ourselves from mind control in courses and private consultations. Ariane, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I've been struggling a little bit the last 2 weeks with some procrastination. I don't know about you. I don't know if it's in the air, but I don't know how it is for everyone. But for me, it's not been so easy to navigate sometimes.
Yeah, some people think it's a Mercury retrograde. Who knows? But we're going to have a great time today. I'm looking forward to it. The work you do is so important because you're giving people really the tools to realize the power they have when it comes to taking control of their own health and sovereignty during this incarnation here on this earth. And you have a very fascinating background as well surrounding the path you've been on. And I think that'd be a great place to start since this was your first time on. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and what got you started down your path.
So I live in Belgium currently, and that's where I grew up. And for me, my teenager years were quite heavy and difficult to navigate, but probably I understood the extent of that only later when I kind of looked back on my life. Very early on, I looked for keys to help me with my mental health, with my physical health, because it's never been so easy either to be in the body. And I have struggled quite early on with a high degree of acidity and lymphatic congestion. And when you have lymphatic congestion, you feel like puffy and the body feels heavy because it's a system that has a pump and it's not functioning so well. So I was looking for keys, and then I also went traveling. And from the moment I went traveling and opened myself more to the exterior, I was also more open to certain types of encounter. And you know how a specific person can carry specific types of programming and can really trigger you in specific ways. And for me, these have been having a really strong influence on my decisions for many, many years and how I led my life. And so it's only later on that I realized that it was kind of all engineered these people were kind of sent my way to have a specific effect, to also kind of bring me back into programming, get me looping, get me busy for months and years. And so I did work a lot to kind of extract myself from this predestinated road. And I've been working a lot to deprogram myself, to also, I also assist others to deprogram themselves, to understand specific types of programming that I grow to learn about within myself first, linked to time, relationships, specific triggers, how it feels in the body, and so on. So I also had to make a lot of efforts with my health, and it's also a big part of my journey and how I also can be there for others, since a lot of us are struggling with our health or have to take kind of measures with it.
Do you think it's a certain type of person that is being targeted when it comes to trying to keep you in your programming? You know, I know that some people, they believe that they're specifically targeted because of either the knowledge that they're trying to put out or the work that they're doing or things that they might, you know, not want to be said. For you, why do you think you're targeted? And do you think everyone to a certain level is being targeted in this way?
Yes, I see it all around. Like because of the how the programs are designed here, it's designed for the inversion and the negativity. So everyone, I see everyone struggling with lots of technical issues or just things not going well. But I do see a difference. I do see a difference when you're a fire creation being. And when you're a backdrop or a clone, it's going to be different, the extent of it. And then depending on the caliber of the prime individual, it's also going to be different. I noticed that in my past, I wasn't so aware of the targeting around me. I thought it was the usual. And I see some of my friends, it is the case for them. They're not consciously aware that they are targeted, but for me, when I look at their life, I see how they are targeted, repressed, how their relationships are engineered. So the more I became aware that there was targeting, the less, the more blatant it has become to be. Like, for example, you know, there is organized gang stalking with the post officers around my house that has that was not happening to that extent in the past. That's something quite new. And also on the road, when I'm driving, sometimes people, cars have become way more aggressive than in the past. On certain days, people kind of just doing certain moves on you on the road, like but a series of them. It's not, it's like 10 of them. So I have discovered that it's because I'm real, I'm spirited, so I'm one of the generator of this system, and I have worked on reclaiming certain abilities because in the past my self-esteem was so broken that I was not fully aware that I have like psychic abilities. Now I'm working on and also fine-tuning into it. So I think gifted people are really targeted, people trying to have positive impact, trying to break people's programming down or assist them in order to do it. I think, yes, the targeting is increasing. And I notice also that the targeting will increase if I launch something important or if I have prepared like a class that is going to have a good impact, then a specific program like gang stalking programming is sent just an hour before. So I don't know if it's something also that you are familiar with or that you are experiencing.
Well, no, I have definitely experienced similar instances in the past, and I know plenty of people who experience this as well. And you use, you know, the term programming a lot, and you also said, you know, background characters along the lines of NPCs. Do you think that this whole existence, that our reality is programmed to a certain degree, that it's some sort of, you know, possible simulation or holographic reality?
Yes, and I've come to live it more with my own eyes. I'm not always, but I'm becoming more and more able to, at a first encounter, to know who I'm dealing with. At least if it's a backdrop, I can see it in the eyes, in the gray overlay, or the aura is going to be different. And I also was gifted with an insight once to see my own programming, and it was like all cable and wires. And so we understand that when they do a little thing, then you kind of struggle with all your wires inside, and you have to find a kind of pathway. So I'm aware of the extent of my own programming. I try to navigate it every day and to also become smarter than it, to some extent, to kind of open my horizon. And then I'm training myself, and I'm organizing also classes to train to read frequency signature and energy signatures, because we all have one. And something that happened as well is that I also became aware that I have like a backdrop card cat that is sometimes used negatively for interference, to sometimes he vomits on the sofa, or all the things they bring you to do these 3D things, right? Then you have to wash the cushion and things, so it's less time that you have like for your project and so on. So these are details, but if you will read deep into this reality, you everything makes sense, and it's kind of nothing is really a detail.
And you also talk about how there are certain people that could come into your life intentionally and want to form a relationship that could be part of this negative programming, right?
Yes, I noticed that a certain percentage of the people sent my way are sent for a specific reason. Sometimes it's distraction, sometimes it's harvesting, sometimes it's to trigger specific programming, like savior programming. In my case, it has happened a lot in the past, and then that's a harvest, right? I've grown to feel it, that it's a harvest of my energy. So I let my energy leak outside of me. I allow that. So I've been working on that. But a great deal of my relationships in the past have been engineered, including my romantical one, but also a lot of friendships. I had friends, handler, as I call them, who were calling me by certain nicknames, for example. And it's only later that I discovered that these nicknames were meant to kind of trigger the expression to the forefront, the coming to the forefront of certain alter personality that lives inside of me. And it's only the last two years, 2 3 years, that I've been becoming more aware that I have multiple personalities expressing every day. And when I'm heavily triggered, I can feel that I'm not fully myself. And I've also grown to see it around me in my friends when they change, when they have like a darker overlay over them, or they express in a more rigid manner. So nothing of that is an accident. And I try to pay attention and to kind of reintegrate, re-become myself as much as I can, because I also don't want to be a voice for other things than myself. But it's hard work to stay in the body, not fall for the dissociation, and work on bringing the core of who we are really, and not all these program parts, because that's what they are in the end.
That's very interesting. As far as the handlers you speak about, how can a person kind of be wary or tell if someone is one of these handlers that's maybe intentionally put into your life?
Well, there are different templates for handling. And for example, there are some handlers who are full of rage and shame, and who are gonna project it in the relationship. So it's not gonna feel nice. But usually I feel like a triggering inside my body. Like it doesn't feel right. doesn't feel nice. It kind of lower my vibration. It's meant to sometimes annoy us, kind of bring us back also into a low self-esteem programming. So as soon as we are trying to rise and dismantle some of this programming, there are certain attacks that are meant to kind of reinstall the programming. It can be in family members or brothers and sisters, the extended family as well. But I feel there are, I mean, for example, with the backdrop technologies, it can be also a specific type of handling that is distraction. It's just distraction. It can be sometimes neutral, it's not real. It's not connected to the real. So it's handling by itself. There is a lot of handling functioning by itself. Then I think sometimes we are monitored, and when we are preparing things, there is like more specific handling that is arranged through the mind of other people also that can be influenced around us.
Now, do you think that there are aspects of our technology that we're surrounded by every day, you know, TV, cellular phones, the cellular towers, things that emit certain types of frequencies that could be having a negative effect on our programming?
Yes, that's something that I've been becoming more aware of, the broadcasting of really negative core belief and a lot of negativity, and then EMF radiations. Most of the time, all reels are kind of, we have like in our neighborhoods, people who monitor us, who can also influence our frequency. I have like a neighbor just living on top of the hill there. And when I was having an important conversation with one of my friend about deprogramming, and when we had finished and I went out, like he was outside, it was like 10 p.m. with his dog, and the energy coming from the house was just very aggressive, repressive, that there is no doubt. But in the end, they are not real. A lot of the gang stalking program are led by non-real character, and that's something that is not so well understood. And when we think it is real, I think it hurts more than probably it should. And that's why I try to do with my work also is to pierce through the illusion of suffering, because many times we believe we have suffered so much, but it was all simulation engineered around us. So,
yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And as far as disinformation on a grand scale, on a global scale, we see it every day, especially with what's happening around us every day. We're trying to be told that, you know, to trust these scientific and healthcare professionals that are actually trying to poison us and indoctrinate us more and keep us in this system, this toxic system that's keeping us from achieving our true potential, instead of looking at what things can change not only our reality for the better, but our global consciousness, and everything could change if we looked at the aspects that they don't want us looking into. Now, as far as the global disinformation campaign, that's a whole new level of this. It affects everybody, because this is what they're using the mainstream media for. This is what they're using politics, our false history. It's a whole like top layer of deception that's people think is the base reality, that people think is true reality, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And basically all of that is distraction, right? There is so much distraction that it's really hard to finish a project or see clearly, and then our desires are changing every day. When I started researching alternative information in my 20s, I was reading like conspiracy magazines, but it's only later on that I discovered that they were controlled opposition magazines. But I think it's a step after step It's designed this way. It's designed for after mainstream information. What we're gonna find is, and I find that we can only work. I mean, one of the ways to navigate this reality is by the organicity of it. It's when we know another person who is similar to us, who we feel close from, then connecting our networks and exchanging information. And I see that organic growth is kind of the only way for many of us in a way.
I want to talk a bit about mind control reprogramming centers that you wrote about, such as yoga and healing centers. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So I in 2019, I was traveling to Thailand and Bali. It was my third time or more. I've been spending quite a bit of time, and only later on I discovered that my dreams were seeded for me to go and travel to Thailand the first time, and that's how it all got started. But in Thailand, on one of the island, Koh Phangan, I was staying there. I was working remotely as well, and I was spending time at a healing center. But it was really weird. I spent a lot of time there. There was a lot of kind of aggressive energies, like usually kind of males sent my way to distract me. It was mainly distraction, like talking with me, but like with a psychic pressure, right? That it's hard to say, sorry, I don't have time now, I'm busy. Or it's like in my case, there is a lot of freeze phone type of programming, so it's hard to really be assertive with my boundaries and be aware of what I need at that precise moment. So there was a lot of that around me, with every day many different propositions from the system, with people like not respecting the boundaries that I couldn't really voice. And then it was really all around that healing center. And the way I the first time I heard about that center was through a German lady that also was kind of influenced to say certain things to me, that I will end up in specific places, and these places are making the handling easier, because it's like a nest, if you will. I think in this reality, you have like a lot of places that are an easy nest to kind of handle the reels. And if the system can have you there, then it's easier to send you gang stalkers, harassers, or kind of people who are able to steal a little bit of your time. And later I looked at photos of the owner of that center, and it looked really, it really all felt like alien, because I've seen babies and they had the big alien eye, and it was really dark and kind of creepy. Even the staff were hybrid or I don't know, but there was really something strange. And one instructor who was giving also like trauma release workshop was like an empty vessel. He was an empty vessel. He was bold. He looked a little bit strange. And I know that after I left this place, it took me a few months to kind of disentangle my energy from what had happened there, and especially in terms of my mind and my consciousness. And I felt like I was corded to all these kind of dark groups. So I think this is happening even on forum online, where you have the hive mind, you get also corded. And I had another experience in a yoga center in Belgium, where the staff was really aggressive, some of the teachers as well. And they really try to enforce the mask wearing also from the doorstep to the changing room, and later on they became like a vaccination centers, just to reveal for whom they are really working. And I was, you know, yes, I was a little bit harassed when I was going there. So there was a heaviness to the yoga sessions that I was following, and I ended up stopping going there because, you know, you pay a price with your energy, with your life force that is being harvested in these classes.
What do you think is in control of these negative aspects of our reality? Do you think it's something spiritual, something demonic, or extraterrestrial? What do you think?
Yeah, I used to explain a little bit of that with the demons that I thought I had seen, but I think what I have seen was in fact some of the Dracos. I think I at the time I explained myself like this dark overlay, like it must be a demon, but now I see it more like we're like a bunch of ETs of different races. You know, you have a little bit of everything. You have some that are more from the celestial heritage. You have all these races. Then you have like the Draco, and then sometimes the Dracos are spirited. And when they are spirited, it becomes a problem because of their lack of empathy that make them, it's easy for cross-dimensional handlers to kind of influence them and control them to handle us. So it's really complex because there is a lot of things going on. But I do explain a lot of what's happening by cross-dimensional interference, influence. A lot of it is invisible to our eyes because we've been programmed not to see. So it kind of make it easy because sometimes it's all around us, but we cannot really see. But I think for me, it has been feeling it in the body, developing more my clairsentient ability, my clair knowing, you know, and kind of also detoxify. So a little bit of the clairvoyance can come back. But I think there are many, many things happening, and I've been trying to understand one thing at a time, right? What is this specific case? Because in the past, I also made a lot of assumptions by reading into parameters, but then I think it's also a trap because my view kind of became more limited, and I tried to reopen my view and to look for the specific handlers, because if we look deep, even each backdrop has their own signature, right? And it can be an interesting case study in itself, right? And they have really specific programming, and some have a higher frequency than others, and all of that is really fascinating to observe.
Yes, it is. And one of the other aspects I want to touch on while we're kind of in this realm is the New Age disinformation that comes along with a lot of this community. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of people who are looking into things of this nature, they see that they could take advantage of people easily, and they see that they can maybe get ahead or make money by presenting false information when it comes to things in this community. So talk a little bit about how we can kind of stay away from that New Age disinformation.
I think with the New Age, it's like a compulsory step for almost all of us. But it's not easy. It's meant to limit our understanding and the expression of our abilities. I think I had problems with tarot card, you know, it's all based on trap of agreement, where we kind of are signing contracts with forces we are not aware of, and then they have a bigger grip on our life, and they can influence us. Then you have like all the New Age books, you know, and the manifestation techniques, but that are incomplete or distorted. So there is a lot going on with that, and I find, you know, the algorithm are going to promote a lot of these New Age, or sometimes it's darker, or these platforms. So it really is not easy to navigate, but I feel decluttering one after the other, or I think decluttering is good for this new age, but then we realize that there is not, I think a way that we kind of look for information is like we look for the truth within the lies, and but at some point maybe we also want a little bit more silence, and from the silence also something can come more than the cacophony, and that's where I try to go. But it's also hard because all of this is very addictive. It kind of plugs into our nervous system or dopamine circuit. So it's really hard to rewire your brain.
Yeah, and I want to get into that, how we can start to rewire ourselves and realize some of these traps. But you just mentioned something interesting, unconscious contracts and traps of agreements. Could you talk a little bit more about that and how maybe we can avoid that, and what exactly are those and where do they come from?
I think these are invisible things that we sign. I think also we have signed a lot of things that we don't remember. But for myself, I know that when I was doing a ceremony all by myself, I had entities around me kind of trying to suggest things, but I was not aware of the entities. I thought it was myself and my own reflection. It's only later on that I kind of debriefed and understood that it was another presence trying to influence me. In this case, it succeeded where I kind of did ritual magic without being aware of what I was doing. And then I'm not sure all of this can be kind of freed because something you do, and that's a kind of agreement that is really hard to uncork from. But for example, like protesting in the street is another form of agreement, because we are, if people do that, they are in opposition. They are like, by the fact that they are contesting something that the government is saying. So it's, yes, it's a trap in itself. Right, they want you to march in the street, because then a lot of reels have had problems when they went, you know, like police abuse from the police or things like that. Also, all the cookies that we are signing, you know, sometimes we're lazy and we kind of accept all these things, or all the contracts. You know, if you get a new phone, you have to accept a contract when you know, and not many of us are reading the terms, you know. So all of that has an influence in the frequency, in the, you know, and we are surveilled not only by your technology device, but I've noticed that my cat sometimes is monitor, my backdrop cat is used, like there is a presence coming with a dark eyes, and he looks at me. And then when I kind of try to make him switch, he kind of closes eyes or things like that. But you know, backdrop beings can be used as a vessel to also look at us.
That's interesting. And that can happen, you think, through, you said cats. Do you think it could happen through any type of pet that we have or animal?
I see it way less often with my spirited cat. She probably has to struggle sometimes with some of entity attachment and stuff like that, but I find it's way more prevalent when it's a kind of organic portal like my other cat is, because he can be possessed. He is open for all kind of energy, and he's not really battling. Then it depends if you're an organic portal, but you resist, you know, you if he was cleaning his space, if he was not accepting all this kind of dark association, but he does accept them, you know. So because of who he is, he's not he's got some darkness, so it becomes complex. So I think yeah, you have like many different versions for every being.
Wow, that is very interesting. Now, I want to start talking about how people can break free from this programming and everything that keeps them from realizing their true potential as the light being that we really are. Starting with, you write about the mucus-free and mucus-lean principles of nutrition. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I started in 2018 to research and apply to my life the mucus-free principles, because I was dealing with a high degree of acidity. I had problems with my gum for a long time, and I kind of got on my knees and asked for a solution, like an answer. And how I got into that was, in the first place, it was through a sort of cult. So it was interesting, but I kept like the teachings. Basically, it's coming back to a frugivore way of eating, right? With things that are easy to digest, fruits and vegetables, and even making a difference with certain types of vegetables. The more starchy one will be placed in the category of the mucus lean food. So with the mucus free, which is all your fruits, coconut water, fruit juice, some of the veggie fruits like cucumber that have a high water content. So with that, usually we're gonna enter like a slow detox, right? The body's gonna slowly detox and kind of take the waste out. And I noticed that when I transitioned, it took me 6 months. I was coming from a mostly vegan diet, but food is so emotional that when we let go of certain things like my chickpeas or my hummus, like it took me a little bit to get used also to a higher frequency in my food. And at the beginning, I think it's not so realistic to go all the way. But then when I was able to be more at ease with the mucus-free way of eating, I noticed that my body would start to detox by the ears. I do a lot of ear candling. Then you can have this wax, and then if you keep all your wax after 2 years, like you have a lot, and all of that was in your head, and then you can imagine how it influenced you, and all this brown mucus and all this residue in the body. And so it's really important, I think, for me, it makes a big difference how I feel in my body now and how I felt when I started this journey. But also it's a lifetime commitment, because there is so much toxicity in how we live and so much to evacuate every day, the heavy metals as well, and residue, it's endless. So I also experimented a lot with the juice fasting. So the long period of liquid fasting on fruit juice. And when I do that, like there, it enters like a faster detox, but my body is also kind of slow to detox in comparison to other organisms from other people who have not this chronic lymph congestion. Because when you have chronic lymph congestion, your lymph, which is supposed to help you evacuate a lot of your acidity, is not pumping. Is you also need to move, to breathe, to move, to exercise in order for it to kind of work from system to system. So all of this has been helping me now. I've been leading a few challenges, and people get really amazing results when they can commit to the next step. And it doesn't need to be all the way. It can be the next step, or for any acidic addiction that we have.
Now, something I found for myself is after I started taking control and getting more healthy, that I was able to access intuitive abilities, I guess you could say psychic abilities, and just all these abilities that I think we all have access to if we could be in that state of health and we can be in that state of mind to be able to access these things, right?
Yes, that's been my experience as well. That's when I started working on the food program. That's when I was able to actually work and be more productive with what I wanted to produce in terms of content. Because before that, I couldn't find a space in my days. And also with the dry fasting, no food, no liquid. For we start with 12, then 16, then 24, then 36 hour and more. But I noticed that I can access like deeper insights during the process and then also the day after. It's like a therapy in itself where I get some revelations, or sometimes it allows me a brief moment of, I think it's kind of similar to remote viewing. It's like having access to an information and piecing it all together and understanding. So for me, it's a therapy for sure in itself.
And what about you wrote fear mongering around sugars. Now, what do you mean when you say that?
That they, you know how there is a lot of fears around the fruits of sugars, the sugars from fruits, for example. And we are discouraged to go towards the fruits or very natural sugars. But I understood that there are differences between the artificial sugars and what they do to our body. And then our body tends to do really well with the simple sugars from fruits. Because it's really an easy food to do a lot of process with the fructose. The body can do a lot, can take the amino acids, and even we can also build muscle on a frugivore diet. So the body, this type of sugar, the fructose, is a ready food for the body. And then you have like different types of experience where you really don't work with any type of sugar, and that's a different process in the body. But what I like with the sugars from fruit or fruit juice is that you can liquid fast for a long time and get your sugar, so you can function. You don't have to go on a retreat, or you can still be efficient and productive with your day. So that's what I like. And I mean, with the food, there is a lot of propaganda to make us think that what is good for us is not good, and that some products, they encourage some products, very specific products that are really not so life-giving for us, and we would do better with more natural methods. So all of that is going on.
Yes, definitely. I have to agree with that. And you also write about the importance of the lymphatic system in your notes here. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, so this is a system that we all connect with that system when we go walking in the woods. First the breathing and the walking is gonna help us. And when you with the mucus-free way of eating, for example, now I get mucus coming down from my lungs sometimes, or acidity that is stored in my head. Then sometimes it kind of leak in the throat. This is like a detox. You're kind of expelling older mucus. So all of that for this expulsion, we need the lymph to be working. And it, you have like all the circuit of the lymph, and you have specific points like under the arm. You have like a concentration here in your throat, right? So, in the morning when you kind of freshen up, you are contacting that system. Some people we can have the face that is puffy in the morning, and then when you kind of freshen up, it's kind of less swollen, and that's like your lymph system that has, it has cleared a little bit, and you're less swollen for the rest of your day. So for that, we need to move. If you have green eyes like me, Green eyes mean that you have like chronic lymph congestion. So you can look at people's eye also with iridology. And of course, I know about my eyes, so I can recognize in other people, at least the ones who are similar. But it means that it's going to be a lifelong effort to that I, you know, I feel much better if I move, if I do yoga, if I go to the woods, if I, you know, it can be trampoline. There are some lazy ways as well, like the chi machine that moves your feet like this, you know, on the ground. So you have to lie down. But funnily enough, you know, you kind of find excuse not to do your chi machine too. So we all have to juggle with the lymph. But the lymph is a system that the medical system don't talk a lot about. You know, we hear a lot about blood tests and things like that. And then you have like all this residue that have not gone found an exit door all these years. You know, in my case, 30 years, they have been stored somewhere in the body, and that explains a lot also why some women have a lot of cellulite, for example. It's like this compact like residue acidity. It's like also a micro inflammation. It's like a small edema in itself. You know. So we have to take care of this water and, you know, receiving massage also to kind of have an influence on all this like kind of stone material inside our own bodies. And it's quite a bit of discovery because it's endless. I feel it's really an endless process.
Do you think that there was a time in our ancient past where we didn't have to worry about accumulating all this excess toxins because we naturally knew of these ways to release ourselves from this, and we naturally practiced these things and had access to parts of our consciousness that could help us get rid of this stuff?
Yeah, in my case, for example, you know, it comes from a weakening of the generations as well. My mother was already struggling with chronic lymphatic congestion. I only understood it quite recently. I never explained it that way, but that's what it was. And, you know, that's what we see with also babies being really sick or having really concerning disease is because they already have like a very weak organism. And I think it's been like a weakening. And also I think there is more aggressivity around us. You know, there is a lot of pollution, or our food is poisoned, our air is poisoned. You know, it's really hard to find a pristine area where to live. And not many of us live in these areas. You know, and so we have to deal with a lot. I think it's a special culminant point in history. I don't know how exactly it was for generations before. I imagine that they had also, you know, they had to deal with that these mind games. Just the setting is a bit different.
Oh yeah, it's a lot different. And there's a word you mentioned a couple of times, iridology. What exactly is this?
It's the study of the health according to the eyes of someone. So, with the iris is gonna show all your genetic weakness. You know, you have also different colors for the iris. And in my case, that's, you know, I have originally blue eyes, but there is like a green overlay, like a yellow overlay. The yellow is for lymphatic congestion. And you can learn a lot about, you know, after that, I have like a brown around my pupil. And all the brown is going to say which area of my body is in chronic states. In my case, there is the stomach, there is the intestines. It usually start around the pupils. That's where it starts. And then they spread to different organs. So the spreading is going to be a bit different. You know, some people, they're going to have their thyroid weakened. Other people is going to be their pituitary maybe. So once you know about your weaknesses, you understand better your health history. You understand why maybe when you were a child you had this type of problem. Some people they get the medical system encourages a lot to remove tonsil or appendix, and they are part of the lymphatic system. But this is really an attack on an individual for their health, because without that, they're going to struggle way more to detox and be healthy. So the answer is not to take away, it's mainly to restore, and anything can be restored with a regenerative methods, with the healing methods, with the herbs, and with going back to a more natural way of eating, right, where we stop degeneration. So I've been studying iridology for the last 3 4 years, and I have another course coming up. But I feel having like a high quality picture of our eyes is a great map, and anyone consulting an iridologist, it's information that we don't get in the doctor office. So it's really precious, and it keeps on you. It's something we can go back to and then understand more and piece more together. I really like this is a tool for non-invasive natural methods.
And you also recommend training and recognizing frequency signature. Talk a little bit about what this is.
Right, this is also what we were talking about in the beginning. It's training our eyes and our whole body as well, and our whole psychic senses to become more able to pick signals. For example, in administration, you have like a lot of gray overlay and kind of specific templates that are. To my sense, there is a lot of backdrop technology. It runs. It's all these like repetitive, more boring jobs. You find a high percentage. So, when or you can also where with your plants, you can train to see more their auras, their vibrance, or if there is more a gray overlay. It's to pick up everything that is around us. Also, the energy of some interactions, right? When there is like a will to hurt, for example, or to be mean, or this has like a signature, right, to it. And then you can recognize better. You don't take like the situation for itself, but you kind of see the bigger picture and where it belongs in this whole system. And it helps you first not to take it personally, and then to also dismiss something more easily, right? It makes it easier when an attack comes from the system to dismiss a mean remark that was made to you, like having no value, because it doesn't come from someone spirited first, and then you also know where it comes from. And then you can also recognize a lot of deceiver. You have, for example, you have like the transgender signature, for example. We hear a lot about this transvestigation, and then you have like this deceitful signature, right? So, or in some operations, like intelligence agency operation meant to generate, like with George Floyd or things like that. This has a signature to it, and then when you recognize the signature, you cannot fall for the programming that is meant to trigger. And something that I've been talking about is my own experience with Julian Assange in the past, where I had specific programming activated by his figure, like the martyrdom, and I didn't know anything about him, but it was that's how quick it was to trigger, and that's how quick people are to react also. But when you recognize the signature, then you can also deprogram and kind of bring more critical thinking to the forefront, and it helps you, it helps everyone to navigate this reality. So that's what I do also in my courses. I have led one course where we reviewed a lot of detoxification coaches and people like that, because then we know who we follow, who we listen to, and some of them have a dark agenda linked to them, or they are serving a dark agenda. Some are synthetics, or or backdrop. So there is at some point you kind of reach a limit to only with the reel you can really elevate, elevate, and elevate, and it has no bottom, it has no end. So that's really helpful for anyone. And the need for that is increasing because the system are upgrading, the simulacra is getting wiser and more sophisticated at mirroring, and so it's really fascinating.
It is. And early we touched on the spirited individuals, people, and backdrop or NPC type people. And you say that the animals can be the same way, and I find that very interesting. What's a way that we can tell if, an animal or your pet is spirited or just a backdrop animal?
Well, I think something is what kind of relationship you have with your animal. Does it feel like in reciprocity? For me, for my backdrop cat is very blatant. Like he is very demanding for his own needs. He doesn't consider he's like a little bit of a narcissistic cat. He wants his needs met. He comes and interrupt every time I'm busy with something, or this kind of interference, a lot of interruption. Well, my other cat, she doesn't demand, right? They have a very different attitude. And even when he meow, like when he does some sound, the from my backdrop cat, it's the sound of complaint, right? From my other cat, it's not a sound of complaint, and she doesn't use it, but he's gonna try to get at some moment you're gonna surrender to his like kind of pressure. And with her, she never demands. She kind of interact. It's like a real relationship without all the verbal things going on. But she's also full of surprise, right? It's not like I can predict her so much. So that's also a great indicator. Someone that you cannot, someone that surprised you, that you cannot predict what they're gonna, how they're gonna behave, it's like every encounter is a discovery. I think that's a great indicator for spirited beings.
That is so interesting. And thank you so much for coming on, Arian, today. That was fantastic information. To close out, for people that are interested in finding out more about you, some of the work that you've been doing, what's the best way that they can do so?
Well, they can reach me at my website, ariapersey.com, and I have a YouTube channel, I have an Instagram, I have a Facebook page, and I'm going on some new social media like Gab, Quora. So there I'm just learning. So if someone wants to join, please do. I have also a podcast on Anchor. And I have some courses and some I do assist other on one-on-one private consultation. I also work with the biofeedback technology from Secret to Everything and Kimberly McGeorge. I'm training as a practitioner, and it's been really helping me in my practice to also assist other because it really tunes to what the body needs, and it's great for shadow work. It's also great to scan many layers of unconscious and subconscious kind of ruling our days. So this is also assisting me greatly in my practice and my clients. And I want to thank you a lot for having me on, and it's been really great to exchange with you and to talk with you, and I appreciate your show.
Yes, thank you so much. That was fantastic information. And we'll definitely have to talk again sometime in the future.
It will be my great pleasure.
Well, thank you so much. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening, and we'll be back again Monday.